about this a long time. It says, but ye know him, for he dwells with you. Come. There's a pause there. And shall be in you. That kind of took me for a moment to finally get into this.
I don't know how y'all feel. I kind of had this my own thinking. You know how we are when we get our own thinking, we get in trouble. But I had my own thinking that the death, burial, resurrection, and all that took place, and then some time forward, Pentecost had fully come. And you know, I never really stopped to really think about the Pentecost had fully come. And that kind of threw me for a moment. And this little comma right here got me into deep study. There can be a lot preached about a comma here because it's a pause. He says, he dwell with you, comma, and shall be in you. So there's a shift here in what took place. It's a huge shift. And I thought about this a lot. I thought about this, you know, well, what's he talking about with me and in me? And then I got to realize that this is probably a moment in time when Jesus was telling, you know, there's a change coming. There's a change coming. Christ says, I will be with you. And I thought about that a lot. And I said, well, you know, if you read the Bible and you go through and study the Bible out, you'll realize that the men in the fiery furnace, the king looked in there and saw Jesus with them. He said, that looks like the Son of God. You know, he was with them. And Jesus said, you know, I heal, I turned the water in wine, you were with me. I raised the dead, you were with me. You know, you were with me, you know, you saw me, you were with me. And he's telling all that, I'm with you. He said, but there's a change coming. I'm going to move from being with you, but being in you. And that was the big change that because I got in my mind, you know, I said, I've always said I like to feel like Christ was with me. And Christ goes with me and follows me. And I never really questioned, never thought about, well, he's in me. That's where he resides. This is where he lives. I thought about this a lot. I said, well, how does this take place? You know, what happened here that we go from being with you to in you? You know, from the time of the beginning when God spoke, he was with them. Jesus was with them and he walked with them. But at this particular time, something took place that he changed his where he resides to being in you. And he talks about being in you, and when I'm in you, you're in me, I'm in the Father, and it puts us all together. I think about this a lot. I said, so where did this take place? And in my mind, you know, I never thought that Pentecost is the time that something major happened. Because if you go down there a little further, it says, the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father has said in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things into remembrance, wheresoever I say unto you. He said, you know, he's talking about a change here instead of being with me to being in me. And I thought about this a lot. I said, well, you know, Christ said that I have walked with you, I've talked with you, you know me, and I know you. And I was here as a man. I walked on this earth as a man. I taught as a man. I have the feelings as a man. I did all this as a man, and you know it. You were with me, and I was with you. You could feel it. You could touch it. You could feel it. You could understand. But there's a change coming. There's a shift coming right now that I'm going to go from right with you that I'm going to be in you. I thought about this a lot. I said, well that's amazing, you know, because now Christ is no longer with me. He's in me. And I am in him. And if I'm in him and he's in me, I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. And it kind of puts everything together. We realize then who we are. We're the sons of the living God. I thought about this and I got to thinking about Joseph. This is where it really kind of put everything together. You know, Joseph was a Christ type. When what happened with Joseph, if you think about it, his birth was a kind of a miracle. And he was loved of the brethren. And the brethren put him in a pit. And he was sold into slavery, was put into prison, and he worked his way into the palace. Well, when the famine come and the brothers, you know, had to come, they had to go to Egypt to get their corn and to get their meal and everything, they had an inside man in Egypt. They didn't know they had an inside man in Egypt, but they had an inside man that it was already set before they ever left because they had an inside man in Egypt. You know, I'm amazed, and I thought about this a lot. I said, you know, that's what we are today. We have an inside man with us now, that when the famine comes and the time comes, we have a mediator on the inside for us. We have somebody already there that's felt everything, done everything, and has been with you the whole time, and now he's in you. So we have a fix already in from the inside man. He's with you in there. Walk with you and talk with you, but he's inside of you. I thought about this. I said, well, gracious, you know, it's kind of like Joseph, what took place. When they came to get their meal, they already had a fix in. Think about it. When Christ died and went to the cross and buried was in the tomb, you know, our Father in heaven said, well, you look at Joseph. He said he was sold into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. My son was sold for 30 pieces of silver. He said he was rejected of his brethren. And so he put in a pit. He said, my son will be rejected of Israel and be cast into prison. He said, my son done everything that he did. He said, but he went one step further when he died, and he came back on the day of Pentecost. And this is what really got me, and I really thought about this a lot. You may disagree with me or not. I don't know. But what I thought, when the Holy Ghost was given those 50 days, you can set the calendar by Pentecost by 50 days after the Passover. That's 49 days, which is 7 weeks and one day. 50 days is when Pentecost took place. And on the 50th day, when Pentecost had fully come and it had fully manifested into full Pentecost, the Holy Ghost power came in. And it says, and I turned over here and I read this over and over again, and it came in like a mighty wind. And all of them began to speak in tongues and speak. I said, they were now Jesus Christ was no longer with them. He was in them. And that's the time that he came. And see, in my mind, I had Pentecost as a separate time altogether. But those 49 days from the resurrection to Pentecost fully come, Christ was seen of many. Many times, many things, you know, and I don't read that. I should have read that over and over again, because I had this in my mind that this Pentecost was a long time happening and a lot took place. But when he left, he said, I will send you a comforter. And on the 50th day, which is the beginning of the 8th week, and I started reading, 8 is a symbol of a new beginning. So this was the beginning of the new thing, the shift, when he went from residing with me and walking with me to being in me. And that's the little place in the comma right there. He went from being with me to in me. And he goes even further. He said, the world receive him not. We all understand that the world doesn't understand what you understand, what I understand. You know, they're all around here looking. He said, but Christ is in you, and you are in him, and therefore he's in the Father. It all fits together. He said, for a little while, you won't see me. You know, you won't, but you'll know me because you were with me and you saw all that took place. And I often said in my preaching career that I thought that if I was there and witnessed all this, that I would probably be, hopefully I'd be a little different than those disciples, but I wouldn't be. I'd be just like them because he was with me. And I didn't realize that the change came when he went from residing with me to being in me. And how wonderful it is, he say, and you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He's telling you right now, you should know these things. You should understand these things, because you were saw me, you witnessed, and I didn't see him. All I got to go on is my belief, but I have an inside man inside of me that God's my faith, God's my strength, and God's my ability. Because you know that little small voice that kind of drives you and keeps you on the path that you should be walking. I mean, I know we have an enemy trying to take us off the path. But you have that little inside of you. He is inside of you, walking inside of you, and the world doesn't see it because they're still looking for Jesus to come. Well, I mean, the Orthodox Jews are still looking for Jesus to come the first time. And the rest of the world is when you see him. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to see where he is in the good, the things that you do that are good, not my bad, my good, that's him inside of me, because I am nothing but a man man in a waste, howling wilderness, but he is in me and resides in me. So any good that I do is of Jesus Christ. Any bad that I do is of Satan. You know, so but I have to nurture who is in me and not the one that's trying to draw me. And Jesus said right here, he said, the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it see him not, neither know him, but you know him, for he dwell with you, comma, and shall be in you. He's telling you right there, the world doesn't see what you see. The world doesn't see the Jesus that you see. Well, how many times do you feel that you've seen Jesus? And you know, people tell you, you know, after I realized how many times I've seen the hand of God move me in a direction that I didn't understand, and it moved me, that was him that's in me, moving me, drawing me, calling me out. So am I something special? Well, I hope I'm not something special, but I understand something. I don't see him as a man on a horse or a king or anything. I see him as the Son of the living God. And that I see him, and I am a joint heir with the Son of the living God because he resides in me. I often wondered about when Jesus said, I must go build and prepare these little temples, you know, around. Those temples that he's prepared is those bodies that we're walking in right now. These are the temples that he resides in. He resides in us. You know, most people are looking for somebody that Jesus walked with me and talked with me, and they don't ever give himself enough credit to understand that he says, I am in you now. This is who I am. You are me and I am you. You know, well, why do I do the things that I do? Because I have an enemy and I'm weak in my faith. I said, but I'll tell you right now, he's in me, he resides in me, he's in you and he resides in you, and he's there. And he says, you know when I speak. You know when I talk because you know who I am. You know when I'm moving. You know me. You can deny it all you want to. You can try to walk away from it you all want to. But when you know that inner voice, that inner peace, that inner strength. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you come and you have no clue how you're going to get out of it or get through it or get over it? And all you're doing is, you know, sitting around like the rest of us, worrying and twiddling our tongue, thinking about what we get. And all of a sudden you drop down on your knee and you start praying. Well, that's Jesus. That is that Jesus that gives you the strength, because I didn't have enough sense in my own mind, my own carnal mind, even dropped down on my knee. But when my Savior comes and shows me where I need to be at the feet and drop down, and he grabs hold of me and he leads me along, when I get up, you know, my situation hasn't changed a bit, but all of a sudden I have changed on the inside, because the one that resides on the inside has given me an inner strength, an inner peace, an inner courage. This is all coming from inside of me, and that is Jesus who resides inside of me. How many times have you pulled out your inner strength, your inner courage, that inner you? You know, it ain't me, Brother Danny. It's not me. It's Jesus himself, the one that resides in me, is giving me the inner strength, the inner courage to walk, to take the next step, to look to my Father. And the world today doesn't understand it a bit. They're over there too. Poor Robert. Poor, well, he's going through that. He's going through that. And I have someone that's making intercession for me, taking care of what I need, understanding what I need. Here before, I don't even have enough sense to ask. Well, it says right here, we don't even know what to ask to pray for. But we have someone inside of us, an inner strength, an inner courage that moves us down life's pathway, and he's there making all the intercessions for us. How wonderful it can be when you start realizing what you have inside of you, and we want to deny it sometimes because we're busy thinking that Jesus is going to hold my hand and walk with me. He's not holding my hand. He's giving me the courage to walk. He's given me the courage to talk. He's given me the strength to take another step and move forward. He's given me all that, and I need to give him the credit and quit patting myself on the back thinking what I did. It has nothing to do with me. It's what's inside of me that gives me the strength to move on, the courage to move on, to make the next step. The world doesn't understand that because they're too busy patting one another on the back, saying, well, he's a great one. Well, Brother Danny, the greatest preacher in the world. You know, we're going to pat him on the back today, you know, and build him up. Well, you know what? Brother Danny's got something inside of him that is the greatest preacher in the world. And it drives him and guides him and leads him. You think about that for a minute. It has anything to do with Brother Stan. It's not Brother Stan's courage that stands before this stand right here and preaches the gospel to you. It's our Lord and Savior who's preaching the gospel to you. And when you hear the gospel being preached by our Lord and Savior, it's the Lord and Savior in you that hears the gospel, that obtains the gospel, that takes the gospel in. This is all of God, you know. And we need to get out of the fixing mode and realize that everything good, everything wonderful, everything, and the courage to say hallelujah and praise God comes from Jesus Christ, who reigns in you, who is part of you, and gives you the strength. The world doesn't understand that because they're too busy caught up into looking at themselves, not realizing that the strength that we have dwells inside of us. This is where our inner strength comes from. Jesus says right here, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you ignorant. But I'm going to reside in you. And all you've got to do is take what I tell you. You know that inner voice, that voice that drives you. And of course, you know, if y'all are like I am, well, why is he speaking to me? You know, but he says, you'll know who I am. When Christ speaks, you know it. You can deny it all you want. You can look at it. You can make up excuses. You can do whatever you want to. But when he speaks, you know it. Most of the time when he speaks to us, it's at a time that kind of hurts our feelings. You know, because it ain't what I wanted. And it's not the way I wanted it to go. You know, I've got to go and do what he has instructed me to do. And it says, you know, the spirit of truth whom the world cannot see, can receive. You know, sometimes the truth just hurts because we can't see. Just as Joseph, you know, I thought about Joseph many a time. You know, here's this young lad that was thrown in a pit, went into prison, falsely accused. I mean, come on. How many of us have been falsely accused? How many of us have been cast down? How many of us have been rejected of our brothers? You know? But he ended up at the palace. The fish. The inside man for when the famine comes. Don't you really realize that when hard times come, we already got the fix? It's already there. It's inside of us. You know? I don't get cocky now. I mean, I can do that. I can do that to you and the rest of us, you know, get all puffed up. But the devil has no strength over you if you listen to the inside man, not the outside man. Look to the inside man. He says, he that have my commandments keepeth them. He that love me, and he that love me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself in him. I mean, does it get any better than that? You know, I don't have to do. I just got to love him. And I don't have to pretend. I don't have to make up. I just got to love him. That's all he asks of me, to love him. And I will manifest myself in him. You know, how much better does it get than that? That our Lord and Savior says, just love me. He doesn't ask me to do anything but love him. And to shed all this other stuff that you think you have to do. He's called you out of the waste, howling wilderness. He lives, he resides in you. You know, how wonderful it is when you start thinking about how great it is that your Savior doesn't walk with you, he's in you. And all your courage and strength. And it's not my courage and my strength, it's him who resides in me. Thank you for your kind attention.
Yes, you are. Sing a verse of Amazing Grace. Love you, brother.